righteousness. Hymn number 28, let's start in that first verse. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. On that last verse, when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful that we have a solid rock, the rock of Jesus Christ to stand upon. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the precious blood of Christ that was shed for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst today that does not know Thee as Savior, Lord, that today might be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that You just draw each and every person close to Thee. Father, today we are thankful for fathers that are here today. And Lord, for Father's Day. I pray, Lord, that You just bless in a great way. And Lord, help us to be the type of fathers, the type of dads that we need to be. Someone, Lord, that is going to glorify You and stand in the gap for our families and for our communities and our country. Lord, that is willing to stand for truth and, Lord, not to waver. Lord, that would have compassion in their hearts and, Lord, love for their families and their land. We ask and pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, to be everything that You'd want us to be. I pray, Lord, for Your blessing. We plead for Your presence. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So good to see each and every one of you out today. I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God and how that He has come to dwell inside of our hearts. And last Sunday actually was what we would refer to as Pentecost Sunday. And the choir would like to sing a song entitled, Come Holy Spirit.
And that's what we need today all across our land is to have the church revived. Let's all stand, please. Turn to hymn number 74. Hymn number 74, I Serve a Risen Savior. Hymn number 74. We'll sing the first verse and the choir will come down. Let's sing He Lives. Hymn number 74. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. Those that are next to you, greet them with a right hand of fellowship as the choir comes down. Number 74. Let's sing that second verse. In all the world around me,
in all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within.
Hymn number 74 on that last verse.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart.
God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody out today. And we trust that the service will be a blessing to you. Let me remind you about a few things going on. And then we're going to take up our offering for this morning. But before we do that, we are in need of some workers here at the church. We have two different bus routes, one going towards the Northwood area, one going towards the Port Clinton area. And we are going to need some folks to help out in those areas. So also, there's a whole list of other things. We're going to be having a meeting tonight. If you would like to get plugged in, come and see me, all right? Because we've got a lot of places where a person could serve the Lord, and don't wait for me to come to you, all right? Because if I don't get volunteers, I'm kind of like the U.S. government. We'll start drafting, all right? So help us if you can. Also tonight, we're going to be having the teenagers give some testimonies about what God has done in their hearts. Church camp is a time not only of fun, but it's also a time of spiritual refreshment. And so we're going to be hearing from the teenagers a little bit and talking about how that what God has done in their life. We had several teenagers get saved this week, and we're thankful for that. And that's the greatest decision they could make. But there was other spiritual decisions that they made, and so we're going to be hearing about that. Then also, we're going to need some help for Anniversary Sunday, which is next Sunday. We've got a carry-in dinner after the morning service. We're going to be celebrating 30 years. I can't hardly imagine that. 30 years here in Oak Harbor, starting with just my wife and my three kids, and God has blessed us, and so thankful for what he's done over the years. And you be in prayer for the service next week. Brother Mark Rogers will be here. On Monday night, the Dalton family will be here singing. I hope that you'll make plans to be here for every service for a revival meeting starting on June 26th, and it's going to go through Wednesday. And so make sure that you come out and be a part of that. And I think that's just about all for our announcements. But before we do anything else, we're going to go ahead and recognize our dads. And we have got a special gift that we're going to give you. And all the dads, if you would please, I want you to stand. All right? If you are a father, I want you to stand. And there's a little package here. It says, "Blessed is the father who works tirelessly." That's the key word, tirelessly, for the Lord. All right? And inside of here, go ahead and, fellas, if you'd go ahead and pass those out. Inside of here is a little keychain with actually a tire pressure gauge on it. That way you never run flat. Amen? By the way, I want you to understand, this right here, according to President Obama, is going to solve the energy crisis. Because he said before he got elected, if everybody would just inflate their tires to the proper pressure, our energy crisis would be solved. So I'm just trying to help him out, all right? And so it just says, "Blessed is the father who works tirelessly for the Lord." Make sure every dad gets one of those, all right? Okay. Did everybody get one? Before you're seated, we're going to have a word of prayer and ask God to bless you and help you being the type of dad that you need to be. All right? Let's go ahead and let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd have your hand upon these fathers. Lord, I pray that you'd help them, and Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord, to lead the way. Lead the way to spirituality. Lead the way to you. Lord, I pray that you'd protect us. Keep our minds pure. Keep us right. Lord, help us to set the right example for our children and our grandchildren, and Lord, all the young people and all the people here at this church. Lord, I pray that people would look and see us and see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I pray, Lord, your blessing would be upon these men. Help them and undergird for them. Guide them and direct them. Help us all, Lord, to be the fathers we need to be. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, would you come, please? Let's receive our offering for this morning. And we'd encourage you to give to the Lord. The Lord gives to us each and every day. And as they're coming, let me just say this. There are some flyers out there in both of the foyers. Just talks about Anniversary Sunday. And there's on the back some instructions as far as different things going on. So make sure you grab one of these, give it to a friend. You can even give it to an enemy, all right? Invite them to come out and be a part of the service. And maybe they won't be your enemy after they get saved. Amen? All right. Let's go ahead and let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. And Brother Gary Deal, would you go ahead and ask a blessing this morning, please? Amen. This time we're going to have Don Eckleberry come and sing. And is Esther going to be here to play the piano? I guess. Okay, I guess Gail's going to play. All right.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice," and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Yielded myself to His tender embrace and faith taking hold of the Word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed, of Jesus who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, He patiently waits to save by His power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, "My beloved is mine." I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep for the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Amen. Hymn number 166, please. Let's all stand. Hymn number 166, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Hymn number 166. Anyway, go ahead, Sue. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the
the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. He that our men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with day and strength to strength. On that last verse, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22 today. Ezekiel, chapter number 22. I'm so glad for all the dads that are here today. And as we prayed, I really mean what I prayed. I pray that God will help you to be the type of fathers that He would want you to be. Ezekiel, chapter number 22, I want you to look at one verse as we begin, verse number 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30. This is God speaking. And the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." God is looking for a man to stand in the gap. Today we recognize Father's Day, and a lot of times people will go ahead and they'll buy gifts and different things. By the way, I'm not too sure which one of my sons gave me this, but I do appreciate it. They know what gets my heart, all right? Whoppers and a card. Boy, I tell you what, I am blessed. So I know what I'm going to do this afternoon. Before I take my nap, I'm going to eat a box of Whoppers. But anyway, you know, a lot of times we look at Father's Day and we think about, oh yeah, I got a new necktie, I got a new shirt. We went out to dinner or some of those things, and that's all nice and fine. But the most important thing we need to understand is, as a dad, we have great responsibilities that are laid upon our shoulders. God has got a special calling upon the lives of every father. We find in this passage of Scripture, God is speaking to the nation of Israel. And God is searching for a man in the nation of Israel. Now, in the context of this passage of Scripture, Israel had gotten far, far away from God. The Babylonian captivity had started. There was actually three different waves of aggression against the nation of Israel by Babylon. Starting in about 603, the first wave came in, and they took numbers of people from Babylon, or from Israel, over to Babylon, and that's where Ezekiel fell, and he was carried away captive. And now, as he is writing here in about 593 B.C., there were priests that were in the homeland of Jerusalem, and they were saying, you know what, God's not going to destroy this place. God's not going to destroy this temple. And by the way, that happened in 586 B.C. Solomon's temple was destroyed, and all the articles of furniture was carried away, and the gold and the silver and everything was destroyed. But they had priests and they had prophets, and they said, you know what, you just need to go ahead and listen to us. God's not going to destroy this place. And Ezekiel said, listen, because of Israel's sin, God is going to destroy this place. Matter of fact, it got so bad that Jeremiah, at the same time, who was actually still in Israel, God said in Jeremiah, he said, don't even pray for them anymore. They've gone so far, don't even pray for them anymore. You know, it's a bad thing when a nation gets so far away from God that God tells His people, destruction is coming, and don't even bother praying. I hope and pray that America has not got to that point yet. And I really believe that America is not there yet.
But what we need today is some dads that are going to stand in the gap. And it says here in verse number 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." As I read this passage, I find there are so many parallels between the nation of Israel and America. And not only parallels between the nation of Israel and America, but I also found that there are many parallels between the nation of Israel and the life of a believer. Ezekiel said in chapter 18, verse number 4, he said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We are all under the judgment of God. Because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." And each and every one of us need to have someone stand in the gap for us. And before I get started any farther, let me just remind you this. When mankind was under the judgment of God, there was one that stood in the gap, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross of Calvary, and he was nailed there, and he bled, and he died in our place, that we might have life and life more abundantly. Thank God there was one that was found faithful, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I look at this passage of Scripture and I look at the condition of the nation of Israel, I cannot help but think of our own country. And I want you to notice, as God is looking for a man, go back if you would please in verse number 23. And I want you to notice what it says in Ezekiel 22, 23. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her," in other words, to Israel, "Thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation." Verse number 24 tells me this. Israel was a land that did not have God's fullest blessings upon it. And you know, there are some people today that are willing to settle for that. "Well, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay." Listen, America could be blessed again if we would turn back to God. And I believe America has had its hand of blessing withheld from it. Oh yes, I believe that we're a great nation here in the world. And I believe that we're one of the greatest nations. But you know, we have not seen the greatest blessings poured out upon this country in a long, long time. It says in verse 24, "Thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon the day of indignation." The blessings were gone. Verse 25, I want you to notice what it says. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof." That tells me this: the people that were in charge were filled full of greed. Is it starting to sound like America today? I think one of the greatest things that we could do for our country is put term limits on all those crooks up there. You say, "Oh, preacher, you shouldn't talk that way." Well, I could get a little bit more graphic, but I won't. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 26. By the way, if they had to go out and work a regular job instead of being career politicians and have to work for a living, instead of living off taxpayers' money, they might go ahead and help laws be passed that would be beneficial to the working man. Amen. Amen. That's enough of my political spiel for this morning. Amen. Look at verse number 26 of this passage of Scripture. It says, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things." Now, the job of the priests back then were twofold. The job of the priest was to go ahead and sacrifice and to do the work of the tabernacle of the temple. Now, there's a problem. They were not in Jerusalem. They were in Babylon. There was no temple and there was no tabernacle. So the job of the priest took on a new form, and the job of the priest took on a teaching ministry. And now the priests were to teach the word of God. But it says here, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. Notice what it says. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the clean and the unclean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Basically, what it says is, here we have people that are supposed to be speaking for God, and they're committing sacrilege. Nothing is holy, nothing is pure. Let's go ahead and let's bring the world into the church, and that way we can go ahead and have a big crowd. You know, the Cleveland Indians had 31,000 people show up yesterday. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God's always in a crowd. Amen? You can have a rock and roll concert and people blaspheme in the name of God and have 100,000 people show up, but that doesn't mean that God is in the midst just because you got a crowd. I remember years ago I was watching a documentary and it showed people going like this to Adolf Hitler. And as far as you could see, there was a mass crowd, probably 50 to 100,000 people assembled together, all with their arm raised saying, Heil Hitler. But God was not in their midst. A crowd does not mean that we have the blessings of God upon us. And here these individuals, they were supposed to be speaking for God, but they were committing sacrilege. Look at verse number 27. It says, her princes. Who are the princes? They were the ones that ran politically the government. They were the politicians of the day. It says, their princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls. And I've got this underlined and highlighted. To get dishonest gain. Boy, isn't there a parallel today that we're talking about? There is a parallel between what Ezekiel was talking about, the nation of Israel, and also America. Here we find the priests, they violated the law, they profaned the holy things of God, there was no separation, there was willful neglect, they hid their eyes from his Sabbaths. Her princes were uncaring, they were unmerciful, they were money hungry. But look at verse number 28, the prophets. As the priests were the teachers of God, the prophets were the preachers of God at that time. And as the prophets preached, I want you to notice what it says in verse 28. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. Untempered mortar is mortar. Mortar is supposed to hold things together. Untempered mortar just does not do the job. As soon as there's a problem, it falls apart. There is no stick to it. It will not set up. I believe that preachers of today ought to be the glue that holds America together. I believe that preachers of today is where you're going to find the solution for the problems of our country. And too many times we have looked to the United States government and we've looked to Washington, D.C. to solve our problems, and really the problems ought to be solved at the church house and not at the White House. We need to understand today that the prophets, they were unstable. They were filled with untempered mortar. And it says in verse number 28, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. They were saying, hey, God's not going to destroy Jerusalem. He's not going to destroy the temple. Babylon is not coming. When the real prophets were saying, you need to repent because judgment is coming. Look at verse 29. It didn't stop there. In verse number 29, it wasn't just the priests and the princes and the prophets, but all the people were involved in it too. Kind of like citizens. Kind of like church members. And the people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have brought oppression to the stranger wrongfully. And then it says, I sought for a man among them that should make up an hedge and stand in the gap. And in order to fully understand what the Lord is saying here, we have to understand what the hedge was. The Old Testament shepherd would go out in the field side, and he'd go out in the field and he'd gather his sheep up, and at night he would try to find a box canyon, a place with high cliffs all the way around, or an open field that they had prepared ahead of time, and they made a fence out of woven thorns. A thick woven fence. And there would be one opening at the very beginning, and the shepherd would set right there at the opening. He would be what they described in John chapter number 10 about the porter openeth and allows the sheep to go and to come. The shepherd would sit there and he'd light a fire, and that night he would go ahead and sing to the sheep. He would calm the sheep. He would protect the sheep from the wolves. It would give the sheep a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of peace. You know, that's what our homes ought to be, fellas. That's what our churches ought to be. You know, it's a sad state of affairs when churches have to have security teams that are packing heat in order to protect this congregation because crazy people are out there wanting to do harm to God's people. What a shame. This ought to be a place that's a safe haven. And people ought to be able to walk in here and be able to worship God and not ever have to be in fear. But unfortunately, we don't live in those days anymore. Today, you need to understand what the hedge was. It was a hedge of protection. Fellas, you know what I would encourage you to do? You need to pray a hedge of protection around your family. You need to pray a hedge of thorns around them and say, Lord, I want you to watch over my children, and I want you to watch over my grandchildren, and Lord, I want you to keep them safe, and Lord, I want you to bind Satan that he would not come in and try to destroy them or try to do them harm. For Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we need to do all that we can to keep our families in prayer. But the problem is, God is seeking for a man that would stand among them and make up a hedge and stand in the gap. God is looking for someone that'll say, you know what? As the devil's crowd attacks, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to fight them off. And as they come for my children, I'm going to stand in the gap so that they don't reach them. And as they come for the preacher, I'm going to stand in the gap for my preacher. When they come for our church members, I'm going to stand in the gap for them. And too many times Christians do the work of the devil instead of doing the work of God. And they go ahead and they drop the guard and they don't stand in the gap any longer. I want you to notice several things this morning. First of all, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the pursuit of God. The pursuit of God. Look at verse number 30. And I sought for a man among them. God is searching for a man. I wonder if God will find you this morning. That'll be that man that will go ahead and stand in the gap. A place of protection, a place that will offer peace and safety to those who dwell underneath your roof. God is searching for a man. In the time past, there were men that stood up, that stood in the gap. For 120 years, Noah stood up, and he was a preacher of righteousness. Why? Because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And for 120 years, it tells us, as a preacher of righteousness, he preached and warned the people of the upcoming judgment. He was standing in the gap for this world. We find that Abraham stood in the gap for his own nephew, Lot. And as God was going to go ahead and destroy that wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wicked lifestyle, Abraham stood up and said, Lord, would you destroy it if there was 50 righteous? And the Lord said, no, not for 50 righteous. And he said, Lord, would you destroy it for 40 righteous? And he said, no, I wouldn't destroy it. And he got him all the way down to 10. There was a reason why he got down to 10. Because when you counted Noah's, or when you counted Lot's family, there was exactly 10 of them that was living in Sodom. And Abraham stood in the gap. We had a man by the name of Jonah, and he stood in the gap for the whole city of Nineveh. Even though he didn't want to go and he didn't want to preach to him, God, through providence and through circumstances, worked it out to where Noah finally was willing to, or excuse me, Jonah was finally willing to go. Because of that, the whole city had revival. It was such a large city, the Bible records that there was 120,000 that didn't even know their right hand from their left, probably children. And God didn't destroy it because someone stood in the gap. The pursuit. God is searching out the hearts of men. What does he see in your heart, men? I want you to notice, he says, I sought for a man among them. We need some old-fashioned, true grit, dirty hand men. Why is it that today men are as effeminate as possible? I don't understand that. Give me a man with his flannel shirt rolled up to his elbows and his grease underneath of his fingernails, amen. Today, I don't know what's happened to fellas. I think they've never let loose of their mama's shirt apron strings or something. I don't know. But God is searching for men. I believe that he's searching for men of conviction. Men that'll take a stand for what is right and for what is wrong. Men that'll have compassion. Men that'll be of courage and will go ahead and stand in the gap and will ward off the enemy. You know what? It's going to take some good old-fashioned conviction and some good old-fashioned courage to stand up to your teenagers and say, you know what? You're not going to listen to this type of music in my home. You're not going to wear this in my home. You're not going to go out with these type of people that are against God. It's going to take some courage to be able to stand up and say, look, we're going to do what's right. Amen? I don't care what the rest of the world's doing, and I don't care what your friends are doing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? And so there ought to be a man of courage, but also a man of consecration. That means the child of God, the man of God, ought to be one that is holy and one that is pure, one that is godly. And today we do not have a consecrated man in our society. They're too interested in impressing everyone else around them. I'm so sick and tired of looking at guys with earrings. Man, put them back in your wife or your mother's jewelry cabinet, amen? Stand up and be men. And we're looking for men that are going to be men. Men of consecration. Men that ought to be holy towards God. And live a pure life and a godly life. Today we have men that are more interested in pleasing other people, pleasing their friends, people that don't want to be recognized as a Christian because they're ashamed. Unfortunately, most men today are not living a consecrated life, they're living a compromising life. Some do it because of ignorance. Some do it because they want the crowd more than they want the truth. Some do it because they don't want to lose friends and they're willing to go ahead and sacrifice their relationship with God because of it. Some don't want to be ridiculed by men, but they'd rather go ahead and face the judgment of God later. Some people say, well, you know what, it's just so much easier to live for the world. You know what, you're right. Any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to swim against the current. You see, we ought not be compromisers. We ought to be consecrated. Some are compromisers because we want to be seen to be successful. And so therefore, they go ahead and they reject truth and they embrace financial gain instead of it. God is looking for a man. A man that'll be a leader. That's what God wants. We see the pursuit, we see the person. God is searching for a man. But I want you to notice the place. Where is God going to find the men to stand in the gap? Notice what it says in verse 30. Look at your Bible. The answer's there. The Bible says, among them, among God's people. That's where we're going to find the answer. May God raise up a Joshua. May God raise up a David. May God raise up an Apostle Paul that'll stand for truth and will not compromise and will do that which is right. Among them, among God's people. We need to get out of our mentality. The government will do it for us. We need to get out of our mentality that we are owed everything. Nobody owes us anything. If you want something, go out and get a job and work for it. Notice the place among them. You see, there is a place of protection that needs to be established. A place of peace, a place of protection, a place of safety. God is looking for a man among us. For 30 years, I have tried to stand in the gap. And by God's grace, I'm going to continue to stand in the gap. And you pray for me. Y'all know the health crisis that I'm facing, the difficulties that I face. But I believe that God has got me here for a reason. And I'm planning on staying by the grace of God. The place among them. Notice the plan. To make up an hedge. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of work to build a wall. We've heard a lot about that recently, haven't we? Somebody else has got to pay for it. But the bottom line, spiritually, we need to make up a hedge. We need to make up a wall. And as I said, when you would go back and study that out and study out the Bible backgrounds behind that, you would find out that they made this wall of hedge, this hedge of thorns. And have you ever messed with thorns? Man, my wife decided she wanted me to get these little bitty purple bushes. And she wanted me to plant them out in front of our house when we lived over on Byer Road. And I says, okay. So I planted them and they were just little bitty things. And they grew a lot bigger. So I had to go trim those things. And they had these little bitty thorns all over them. I'm telling you what, they were the most unforgiving things. And if you touched them, they had a little poisonous barb in them. And they'd poke you. And you'd instantly, it would start burning. And you'd swell up. And I'm thinking, what in the world did I plant these for? I just wanted to get gasoline and a match and just burn them up. Amen. Create a burning bush. I remember when we took the teenagers down to Fremont a number of years ago and down canoeing. And there was a canoe livery down there on the Sandusky River. And there was a bunch of locust trees down there. And these locust trees had the certain type of locust. It had thorns on them about this long. I mean, huge thorns. And I took a couple of them and I got looking at it and I told the teenagers, I said, could you imagine if this is what they used to weave the crown that Christ wore? And I began to think about the hedge of thorns. I wonder how many times as they made that barrier, they got cut or poked or injured in trying to protect the sheep. Listen, Christian, sometimes as you do your job and you are trying to protect your children and your grandchildren or protect your church, you know, sometimes you might get hurt in the process. but you still need to stand in the gap. You still need to go ahead and provide a place of safety and protection. I want you to notice the place among them. Notice the plan to make up a hedge. And after they made the hedge, they would stand there in the opening and say, no one's coming and no one's leaving without my say. And God help us to be that type of Christian that would protect our families and protect our church and protect our faith. Notice the purpose. Look at verse 30. God said that I should not destroy them. In Psalm 9, verse number 17, it says, the wicked should be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Where's America today? I was driving through Pizza Hut the other night, and teenagers listened to me. They were talking about you. I wanted to jump out of the car and run in there and give them my 2 cents worth. I was in the drive-thru. And they were talking about church camp and how crazy it was. I don't understand why they got to go to church camp. Fill their minds full of a bunch of nonsense. And they were just, man, they were going off. And I was sitting in my car going, I wanted to go ahead and just pull over and go inside and just give them a piece of my mind. You see the problem or the purpose that I should not destroy it. People today don't understand. We are in a battle, and we are in a spiritual battle. And our children and our grandchildren, we need to stand up and protect them. Notice the problem, verse 30. This is what God said. I sought for a man among them that should stand in the, that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap, that I should not destroy it. And the problem is, he said, I found none. God looked throughout all of Israel, and he could not find one person that would stand up and stand in the gap. He found none. Look at the peril. Verse 31. Therefore I have poured out mine indignation upon them and have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. May God help America. America has gone so far away from God. They've kicked God out of the schools. You can't pray in schools anymore. You can't read the Bible in schools anymore. You can't recite the Ten Commandments anymore. And we wonder why. We teach the children that they're nothing more than the process of evolution as they came from, animals. And we wonder why that they act like a bunch of animals. Today, in many of the big inner city schools, teachers have to teach from behind bulletproof glass. They have to have armed guards in the classrooms. Thank God for Ottawa County Christian Academy. Amen. Say, well, kids get in trouble? Yeah, sometimes for chewing gum and things like that. The peril, the judgment of God. I believe as we look at Father's Day, one of the things that we need to understand, we need some men that are willing to stand in the gap for your families, for your country, for your home, for your church. The problem is, God said, I haven't found any. When God looked throughout this world and didn't find any, there was one person that he found, though, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And And when the judgment of God was ready to come down upon mankind, and the gavel was lowered, guilty, and they were coming to take us all and cast us into hell, Jesus Christ stepped into time and eternity, and he said, stop. When God declared judgment, Jesus Christ said, I'll take their judgment. And he says, I'll go ahead and pay the price. I'll pay the penalty. I'll go ahead and suffer for them so that they do not have to. Jesus Christ stood in the gap for us. Amen. He stood in the gap for you, and he stood in the gap for me. And if you will place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary, he will give you eternal life. He'll take you to a place called heaven when you die. All because someone stood in the gap. And now listen, God wants you to stand in the gap for your family. God help us to be the type of men that we need to be. We need some men that are willing to stand in the gap. When the judgment of God was ready to be poured out upon our wicked souls, Jesus Christ stood in the gap, and he averted the judgment of God and took the judgment for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's bow our heads, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. May God help.